Can the South Carolina defense take a step forward in 2026? Let's talk about what needs to happen on Coffee. Good morning, Gamecock fans. Today is Thursday. I'm sorry, Wednesday, February 25th, the year of our Lord 2026. This is Coffee with JC Sherbert. Good to be with you today. Hope you're enjoying your week. Some action last night. Diamond Sport Action Softball wins 9-1 over Charlotte, Ashley Chastain Woodard's former team. And then the Gamecocks on the hardwood played. It was a competitive ball game for the most part. Kentucky pulls away at the end, 72-63. I have two takeaways here, not to take away from the effort by the Gamecocks. I thought Kentucky played like a team that's getting paid whatever money they're getting paid. I would be pretty livid if I were a Kentucky fan of how their players are playing. You see it around college. You see a lot of things pop up around college basketball that are quite frankly surprising. That aren't good for the game. But I think that if they were winning, nobody would care in the bluegrass. But they needed that one. They pull away at the end, 72-63. Gamecocks, I thought, played pretty good defense. Again, they just got killed on the boards big time. If it weren't for offensive rebounds, I think Carolina may win. I also think this, Lamont Paris hit the nail on the head in the post game when he says some guys don't believe that it's their job or that they're the ones that need to go get the rebound. I saw that. Sondico, who got in there and did some good things. I saw one play where he just watched the ball. But it is what it is. Another loss. We'll see what happens moving forward. But I can't say I was devastated or anything by it. I think we've grown accustomed to the losing by now. But certainly was an opportunity. I tend to think that when you're having a season like this, and we've seen some teams around here in basketball, men's basketball, that aren't very good, that have a win like a big win over Kentucky or something like that. And it always matters, it always matters when you beat the big dog. Like I said it before the Alabama football game this year. Anytime you beat the team in your conference that set the standard for decades, that's a big deal in a single game. But wasn't meant to be. Gamecocks go down 72-63. They did a great job on Kentucky star player Oweh. That was a key to the game for Matt Anderson. Don't let him beat you. And Carolina held him to single digits, below double digits. Really good defensive. I mean, the team's getting better defensively. I don't know what that means. Shots didn't fall, so we'll see what happens moving forward for them. We have baseball tonight. If you're on the newsletter, InsideTheGamecocks.com is how you sign up for that. Please don't miss Jamie Bradford's baseball bulletin today. He kind of breaks down big innings, which is something under Paul Menieri this team's been lacking against all opponents. And they're going to need some big innings this weekend against Clemson, but last tune-up against Queens University. First pitch tonight, 6:30 at Founders Park. And on the show, in the morning show, we'll be sure to talk about that. It is Wide Open Wednesday. On Inside the Gamecocks, the morning show and the show right here on the Chief Sports Network. That means you do not have to be a Club Chief member. It's $4.99 a month if you want to join on the YouTube channel. If not, every Wednesday we have a hardcore group of folks that come in every Wednesday that aren't Club Chief members, and that's cool. We love them too, that pop in and chat with us. So it's very interactive, especially on the show portion with Phil and I. That kind of drives it on Wide Open Wednesday. So you can check that out. 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. The show starts at noon. It's 2 and 2. The super stream, as we call it here on the Chief Sports Network. All right, so today we have another shortish episode of Coffee. It's a lot going on as far as getting ready for spring and stuff like that. But there's not a lot to dive into. There was a press conference yesterday with Matthew Smiley, the new special teams coordinator. We kind of reacted to what Beamer had to say in real time about the basketball thing and about, he kind of went on this long thing. I don't know that maybe he's reacting to social media. I'm with him. I don't think that's something you need to get after. I mean, there's plenty to get after a head coach about these days, right? Namely, wins and losses. Namely, bad hires. namely, you know, personnel decisions, fourth down. I mean, there's all kinds of coaching things you can get after a coach for. Yeah, even Beamer's demeanor in press conferences gets on some people's nerves. It doesn't, quite frankly, with mine. There's times I've thought that maybe he crossed the line or was a little tone deaf, particularly when, you know, he jumped all over the reporter about the play calling change or whatever back, I don't know, after the Oklahoma game, I guess it was. And to me, that was like a very legit question that fans want to know about. And so I think, you know, I went through all that, you know, not that I was mad at him or anything like that. That was one that was, I was like, well, you know, maybe if he could have had that one back, that would have been a little bit better. But I don't mind him being emotional or defensive or anything like that. You know, I think sometimes maybe in the middle of a game when ESPN interviews you, you kind of learn lessons, A&M. But yesterday, you know, he kind of went on and on about it and was reacting. And some people, you know, I said, hey, well, why does he do this? Well, look, he's not going to change. And I don't think anyone should want him to. I mean, if win or lose, you need your coach to be authentic and who he is. Too many fake people in college football, both inside and out on the periphery that to want otherwise. That's A. But B, you know, that is fair game, criticism-wise, I think, in my opinion. Now, this basketball thing that they've been doing for 3 years, never had anybody injured. Number one, they're going to do team building activities, some of which, you know, you would probably, if a player got injured doing those, some of the things they do with Luke Day with the strength program and stuff, and put your body through a lot, you'd probably go, why in the hell are we doing this? More so than playing basketball. And then B, these guys are going to play basketball. They all do. Most of them play. I mean, you can ask some of the former players here at the Black PE Center, the epic games that they used to get into up there. I mean, it's competitive. They're athletes. I don't know how you put them in bubble tape and avoid something like that. But he did say that peak. They're hoping he can be back by September. I think that's optimistically the best case scenario for South Carolina. If he does get back and is good to go, I mean, the good news is he's an experienced player. It's not like he's a true freshman that could be really good if he gets back to full speed and has the summer and all that. You know, Peak, I'm not saying he doesn't need it. And there's got to be ways he can stay in shape and stuff off of his feet. But, you know, I think that he's so good and experienced, right, that they're going to need him if he can get back. And hopefully he can. Hopefully the prognosis goes well, right? We don't really know. Beamer said, we hope to get him back. Hopefully. Steve Spurrier always said that, hopefully, because he didn't like to make guarantees. So I think that based on the way the intel on my end has evolved since the beginning when I was told about this until, you know, later on when they kind of settled in and looked at exactly what it was, you know, there is more optimism than there was. There was a big concern that was that redshirt year or whatever. But, you know, that's why you have doctors. That's why you get checked out. That's why you don't declare things. It's not medieval times when a player goes down on the basketball court with an injury and the squire, the crier, the town crier goes, I dare declare thee injured and out for the year. No. We have doctors and things these days, right, that tell us all that. So that's good. So good press conference. Matthew Smiley seems like a high character guy. That's what I've been told by people that know him. Pat DeMarco, obviously, who played for him in Buffalo, gave him a recommendation. Lots of people did. Seems to be a good person. We'll see what happens. I'll point this one thing out, then we'll get to the topic of the day, the defense. Defensive objectives, because spring practice starts in 1 week. I will say this. I did like that they both, Beamer and Smiley, dove into the differences between college and NFL. I guess you're kind of forced to. All this NFL stuff we've had around here, right? It is different. And, Dowell Loggins was the only coordinator that kind of touched on it as far as the hash marks on offense. But defense, I mean, special teams, there's just different rules. And it's not just the kickoff. It's a punt where, you have to delay and things like that. So it is a lot different, NFL versus college, as far as how you execute your special teams and sort of how you counter it in the return game. Also, how you attack it and the opportunities it opens up. They talked about all that. I thought that was very interesting. And I appreciate that topic being brought up because we spend a lot of time talking about the differences between the NFL and college. And Smiley spent last year at Penn State helping that program out. His daughter goes to Penn State. I like that he's a family man too. I think that fits. Seems to be a real high character guy. Not, I don't want to say Mr. Nice Guy or anything like that, but seems to be a good dude. Served our country in the Air Force. He's from Illinois, but down near Champaign. His accent's a lot like my friend Doozy, he's a big Illini fan. He's from that part of Illinois. They have kind of a different accent, more similar to like a Missouri, Kentucky-ish, little Kentucky, a little more southern than maybe Chicago, but yeah, and this is that kind of accent, so he kind of reminded me of that. But seems like a really nice, high character guy, which is what we were told, and we'll see. Seems like he and Beamer are on the same page. I know everybody liked that he brought up learning a drill from Pete Limbo, and maybe going to bring that back. And also, spent a long time knowing and admiring Joe DeCamillis, so there's going to be a lot of carryover. With Coach Smiley. So it made sense, and I think important objectives there obviously are figuring out your kicking situation. That would be probably in snapping. I think there's going to be a big competition at long snapper this year. So figuring all that out is what has to happen with special teams. So there's your special teams objectives for the spring. Episode right there in 2 minutes. Defensively, South Carolina, I thought, overachieved last season. I thought that the defense, as much worry as everybody had about it in the offseason, and boy, this past offseason to now, if 2024 and 2023 and the portal at NIL made you gun shy about making predictions in the offseason. This past season and just about all sports probably will make you like, just don't believe anything, believe nothing, and I don't blame you. Don't believe anything. But I thought at the end of the day last year, were there some deficiencies on defense? Absolutely. Was this defense as good as 24? No. Wasn't as consistent. I thought that on the road, the defense did not play as well as it did at home, for the most part. There were some times, really, first game and last game, which is strange, a little strange, against two ACC teams, where the secondary just got beat in more than they did not. Against Virginia Tech at the beginning and Clemson, which was surprising. Virginia Tech, I don't think, ended up having as good of receivers as maybe they showed in that game. Clemson obviously does have good receivers. And you won one and lost one there. So that was for a secondary that had some NFL guys on it, Cisse and Kilgore going, that was a little surprising, but when you're playing the secondary, it happens. I think the secondary under Torrey Gray's been excellent since he's been at South Carolina and will continue to be. Glad he is back with the co-coordinator title. And $1 million salary is worth every penny, Torrey and Gray in the secondary. I thought, defensively on the line, and we talked about linebackers being sort of inconsistent yesterday. We won't dive into that too much. Goodwine, and you're in a situation this year, the volume is not as high. But, you did lose, you lost like four off of 2024. But Goodwine and Barrett, those guys played within a range of solid to very, very good last season. So you got to replace them. And so that's an objective that we're going to talk about here in a second. But I thought overall last year, just to sum up the 2025 defense, yet again, what it was top two, top three in the SEC in turnovers, lead the SEC in turnovers. Again, those were huge. I thought there were some games the offense was just so pathetic. The defense fought hard to keep them in. It was more of a bend but don't break style this past year. The injury to Dylan Stewart down the stretch certainly limited him and his big play ability, but the guy still made big plays. You know, he was good for about one or two a game. If you remember the Texas A&M game where he destroyed, he was in the backfield with the ball was snapped, and Nick Barrett got a big man touchdown out of it. And so, you know, he made his plays. He's got to get healthy and ready to go. He may be one of the ones Beamer was talking about that would sit out spring practice, which is fine with me. I could care less if he gets that guy. He just needs to be healthy. You know, so he was good. You know, behind him, you had some guys that made some strides. Brian Thomas Jr. opposite him, who's gone, had a productive year. I do think they missed with the injury to George Wilson and the injury to Jaylen Brown some depth at edge to a certain extent. You know, safety, solid. You know, Peyton Williams was back there most of the time, along with DQ Smith. DQ's gone now. Nickel, Kilgore, once he got real healthy, was very good. So, you know, it was a not as good of a year, but nobody thought it would be, but it was good enough. Certainly good enough to lose less than eight games, in my opinion, on defense. And Clayton White, going into his sixth season as the coordinator, I believe at least since 2000, at least since the turn of the century, and I'll look up this stat and go back further. I think he's the longest tenured defensive coordinator South Carolina's had. Because if you go back, you know, Holtz had – Charlie Strong was there from 99 to 02, so he's 4 years. Then there was Kosh for 1 year, Rick Minter for 1 year. Spurrier had Nix, 05, 06, 07. Ellis Johnson, 08, 09, 10, and 11. And then Whammy, 12, 13, 14, 15. There were some co-coordinators in there, so that was four. T-Rob was the coordinator all the years under Muschamp, but that ended after 5 years. And that's been Clayton White. Carolina's only had two defensive coordinators in 11 years. That's if you count Whammy and Ellis, that's only four in about 18 years. So it hadn't really been a revolving door. So having that kind of longevity is rare. Clayton White eventually will be a head coach. I would not be surprised at all if he keeps doing what he's doing at South Carolina. When NC State opens up at some point, they get tired of Dave Dorn. The Clayton White's not right in the thick of that at his alma mater, but certainly has gotten to the point as a coordinator, you know, after some iffy times in 2023, and he's been pretty daggum consistent. And last year, I thought was one of his better coaching jobs. Were they perfect? No. Were there frustrating moments? Yes. Was the Missouri game and some of the big rushing yard games that they gave up on the road especially? Yes. Was the second half at A&M bad? Yes. But, hey, it's not always going to be your day, and they have been pretty doggone solid and kept Carolina in football games last season. So that's what you got to build on if you're the Gamecocks. So what about this year? What are the objectives going into spring practice? There's a lot of good players coming back. They do have to fill some holes. There were some players that contributed an awful lot and made a lot of great plays that are gone. So I've got them 1 through 5. I'm going to start with 5. Who are the corners? Outside of Vakari Swain and Judge Collier, who are the corners? Like, is Jazavian Currents a corner, dare I ask? I think he's a safety. I think he'll play safety. But I can't rule out if it's 6'4", 210 that he's a corner. Because you need depth there. You know, DeMarcus Leach, is that your corner? Is Jalewis Solomon going to go be a corner, just a corner this time? He's got position flexibility. You know, Causey Barnes, sorry, I called him Susie. Causey Barnes coming in at 6'3" from Greensboro. Is he a corner or is he a safety? I think he's a corner. So who are your corners? Because who your corners are and who's playing there is going to directly impact the depth, and that's what you need. You got to have depth at corner behind those two starters, who I think could be awfully solid, especially if Judge Collier returns to form. I thought his injury last year just set him back. I don't want to say ruined the season, but he was supposed to have a really big year, and then he got hurt, missed a bunch of time, came back, wasn't really himself. He needs a rebound year this year. He's certainly capable. The judge is certainly capable. And Swain, a really good player. Obviously, if you're talking about a guy that could go and end up being like an All-American type this year, both in punt return and at corner, Akari Swain is one you circle. I mean, just a great talent and has gotten better and better and better. So who are the corners? That's one thing that I'm very interested in seeing, that I'm sure the staff is as well. Number four, the defensive tackle reload 2.0. Interesting that Kelby Collins is listed on the inside and will play there. So he's in Travion Robertson's room. Not going to be an end unless they slide him out. Of course, they have guys they've done that with before in an odd front. I'm sure in an odd front, he'll be an end, quote unquote. But he's going to be inside. You got to replace Barrett, and you got to replace Goodwine up front. And then Devontae Miles obviously got kicked off the team. Beamer had some good comments about that yesterday, too. Kind of sad, really. But, so Troy Pikes and Gabriel Brownlow Dindy will probably be at the top next Wednesday when they go out there. Very important for Brownlow Dindy to stay healthy and maximize. I think he. Kind of like Goodwin, like I've said before, when he got here, hadn't played a whole lot, played. And when he played pretty doggone good, just was limited at times. And then Troy Pikes, who was a late transfer portal, this is his first spring practice. Troy got better and better and better. Deputy Smitty, when we had him on the other day, he was like, something's telling me something about Troy Pikes and all that good stuff. Me too. There's a reason everybody wanted him. Because you're looking at it and you're like, why does everybody want this 290-pound D tackle from Georgia Southern that had 14 tackles last year? Ohio State wanted him. Georgia wanted him. Carolina wanted him and actually spent to get him late. Well, now I think you saw some why. There's that elite quickness and he does things on film that you love. And I think another, year in the system after coming in over the summer, playing behind some older guys like Nick Barrett, getting the coaching from Jordan Dove last year, Travion Robertson now is back. That's a guy to really circle, but you can't just get by with two, and then you do have injuries and you got to rotate. So after that, they hit the portal. I mentioned Kelby Collins. So we haven't talked about this because I've talked about Kelby in terms of more of a big end. Well, if he's inside, that's a guy, he's at 285. He's got that quickness and all that. He's got to play hard and tough consistently down to down. And that's up to, Travion Robertson can get that out of guys. And we're going to talk about overall this point moving forward, moving up when we get to objective number one. This is where we're on number four right now. Tamia Dorajadeh from Illinois, second honorable mention. Third team, second team, all Big Ten last year at Illinois. Big athletic guy, 6'4", 291 is what he's listed at. Very excited about him. And then Jordan Thomas is another guy, big time rep out of high school. Hasn't done much at Georgia, but can he come to Carolina? Can he be the reverse Xavier McLeod? Xavier McLeod showed promise at Carolina. I can't say he did much. Ended up getting kicked off the team. Well, he's at Georgia now, and you see why Xavier McLeod was a highly rated recruit. He's quick and good, making plays in the rotation. Can Carolina do a reverse with Jordan Thomas, the young man out of New Jersey? And then there's the two guys that I talked about the 2025 class last week, Christian Ingram, Caleb Williams. Very interested in seeing how those things go. Caleb's got to stay healthy. That's the bottom line. And then Christian's a big guy, that big, long, 6'6", 310 type of player. that my boy Craig loves. And then you got Aiden Harris and Noah Clark in early from the state of North Carolina, D-line heaven. Different guys. Aiden 6'2", 285, naturally strong, cat quick. Very good quickness. He's just a freshman, but coming in early, he's a high floor player. Don't be surprised if he gets in the mix. And then Noah Clark, 6'5", 340. And the opposite end of that spectrum, gonna need to reshape a bit, get in shape. But if it starts clicking for him early, he's got to take to the coaching with Travion Robertson, man. I tell you, these big guys, shoot. And the way Travion moves them around in practice, boy, they're gonna get there. I'll tell you that. But Noah Clark is an outstanding character kid, and all. There's an adjustment for every freshman. But if he can click, Carolina doesn't have many guys like him, so maybe he can get in the mix as well. So there's about eight right there, a defensive tackle. So that's all defensive tackle rebuild 2.0. That's number four. Number three is important to me. Identify the edge opposite Dylan Stewart, and hopefully it's good, right? And it doesn't really matter who it is. If it's Caleb Herring, which I assume it could be great. If it's Anthony Addison, if it's Quay Dodd, I'm very Drew Collins. I'm ambivalent as to who George Wilson, who will be back off injury. I don't know for the spring, but because he got injured in the preseason, whoever it is, Carolina needs to be good there. Brian Thomas was productive there last year, no doubt, but I think you need to be a little better. To really maximize it. And because what you have to do is, make, and this is why Kyle Kinnard was so good. And then also that person on that other edge needs to be really good against the run, too. That Kyle was really good against the run. Everybody is so worried about Dylan. It opened up Kyle from some one-on-ones. And if you're good enough to where they can't block you one-on-one, you're going to wreak havoc. And then if they start paying more attention to you or they just block you straight up, that's a win for the defense. I mean, Carolina in 2024, I don't know that we all realize. We realized Dylan Stewart was hard to block one-on-one, but Kyle Kinnard was too, obviously. And then TJ Sanders on the inside, you could not block him one-on-one. And Tonka Hemingway was pretty doggone difficult as well. So on defense, sometimes that's the thing. If you have the more guys you have that you can't handle one-on-one, the better. And so identifying, developing, getting that guy, if it's Caleb Herring, great, ready to roll on that other edge is paramount, I think, because the better they are, the better the D tackles are, the less you can focus on number six and the more plays he can make. That's critical for me. I'm going to be watching that position. We harping on that all offseason. Answers at safety. I know you guys are sitting around waiting for me to say that. Who are the safeties going to be? Peyton Williams returns as a starter. I'm assuming he'll go out there first. Very, very interested in Kendall Daniels Jr., obviously, this year. David Busey. Gerald Kilgore is going to be a nickel and battle it out with Quay Sheed-Scott and Jaquel Holman at that spot. But you have, if Currents is a safety, you have him back there. He's good enough to get on the field as a true freshman, in my opinion. You still have, Kelvin Hunter from West Florence, who was a four-star guy, who's back there as well. So you've got, and some guys coming in. So who are the safeties? I know people are concerned about that spot. I think they'll find some answers back there, and hopefully they'll upgrade, And then number one overall, and I touched on this yesterday with the linebackers, good to great. There's a business book out there, Good to Great, that some of my former bosses read and loved back 20 years ago, and I've read it too. And Good to Great, that always sticks with me. How do you get from good to great? And that's the case again. South Carolina, with these portal players that they get, they have a track record now of about 2-3 years of taking guys. And Cole Kublik, I was on with him yesterday, mentioned this. They get these players that people kind of crap on. And he mentioned Spencer Rattler and Rocket Sanders. He said, when Rattler went to South Carolina, people were kind of rolling their eyes, going, ah, he's done. He's got a bad attitude or whatever. And look, he's a great player. Rocket Sanders was great, But people were concerned about the injuries and some other stuff, and they didn't know how good he would be at South Carolina, and he was great. Kyle Kennard was an average type contributor at Georgia Tech. They took him to great. And then the guys at the lower levels, like Demetrius Knight, comes in as an example. Yeah, I thought Sean Murphy, we talked about him at linebacker yesterday. Good to grow. I'm not going to say he's great, but he got better. Brownlow Dindy, Monkel Goodwin. So there's a lot of guys that they've done that with that have ended up doing good things here. And then there's a lot of guys in this portal class. Caleb Herring and Kelby Collins both, they're not like Brownlow Dindy or Goodwine in the sense that they haven't played. They've played and contributed. Collins has done it at Florida and Bama. Herring has done it at Tennessee. Were they starters and all conference players? No, but they're actually starting ahead of the game to where those other guys were because they've played. They've got experience. So Deion Barnes and Travion Robertson need to get them from good to great. They got to become great players. I'm not saying that Carolina won't win if they don't become great, but that's the task generally here. A Christian guy like Christian Clark at running back. Even the guys coming back that have been in the program, not just the portal guys. I mentioned like linebackers like Justin O and Fred Johnson. Time for them to take a step. Judge Collier, can you get him back to where he is? Even Vakari Swain has, some ceiling to get to, or some room to get to his ceiling. How about that? Matt Fuller, Jawaan Harrell. The list, even Lenore Sellers. I mean, it goes on and on. How do you, overall? But this discussion is about the defense. So on defense, especially focusing on that, JC, you got off track there. Started talking about offensive players. How do you get them from good to great? Or can you, the idea is get them to good to great as you have done before with other players. That's the key. And you could even say that about the defense as a whole. It was a good defense last year. How could it be a great defense this year? If Carolina can put a great defense on the field next year, it's going to be very beneficial. If, as expected, they improve on offense. I do think last year's was good, kept them in game, certainly good enough to win, like I said. But if you can cycle back up on this side of the ball, Clayton White can have another special type of unit, which I'm not going to put it past him, then Carolina. It increases the chances of having a dramatic turnaround record-wise in 2026. All right, don't forget it's Wide Open Wednesday, the show, the morning show coming up. Sports Talk streams tonight, 6 to 8 p.m. on the Chief Sports app. Don't forget InsideTheGamecocks.com. That's where you can sign up for the newsletter. Should be a good couple of newsletters today with the Bradford's Baseball Bulletin. Want to really encourage everybody that likes Carolina baseball to dig into this because he makes some excellent points and brings up stats, and stats are always good to back up what you're saying, right? This has been Coffee with JC Sherbert. I'm out. Holla.